when you see DC United fail to make the playoffs and think, I better bring that coach to the championship. That's so MLS. A North American soccer podcast with myself, Andrew Bates, and Nick Thornton.
Hello.
Nick, the Rooney dream is over as a manager at DC United. Are you okay?
I am okay. I don't know if my mom will be when she finds out Carl Robinson went with him to join Birmingham. I'll survive. Off of that note, I started my end of the season looky-loo at the MLS store to see if there's anything good on discount. And I gotta say, an awful lot of DC United gear there for real, real cheap. Also, San Jose Earthquake thongs, which I think they're almost out of, but...
This is,
tell them I sent you. I have no discount code, but...
We've seen other... You know, at the start of the season, we talked about jerseys a lot. Since you mentioned this, I went and loaded up this store. We've talked about jerseys a lot when they did that whole rollout. And I think that one of the things... When you look at Nike's new extremely boring U.S. men's national team design and some of the other, you know, minimalist designs, It's like you've got to look back at this season and think they tried so many interesting things this year and so many of them were defeated by their silly flat back panel design strategy.
Like those pink TFC kits.
The Carabana kits are extremely nice. And I just think of them until they turn around. It would just be such a like a fun thing to wear. Like you could imagine wearing it and think, oh yeah, that's nice, that's eye catching. It's not an all over pattern. What are they doing? And I was more critical before, but if you look at it, the thing that I'm critical about with it is that this season, because they're trying to promote these designs, teams don't really look like themselves. Like this is what I was thinking when I was watching the TFC New York Red Bulls highlights. And those Red Bull kits are cool, and the TFC kits are cool. And I would never walk up and be able to... I would never at the top of the lower bowl be able to walk up and look at the field and without somebody telling me, I would never be able to pick out what teams I was looking at.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them are a little bit better than that, but I wanted to give them some praise for, you know, some of the adventurousness of some of these designs, the Hispanic Heritage Month. Some of them are also pretty bad. We had the clash this week of Austin and LA, and those LA smoke kits extremely look green. You can't get away with it. Once you think of the green on green clash, it's like I can't unthink this.
Have you seen the San Diego FC logo yet? Or the supposed...
Oh my one? God. So I saw it through Athletic. So I do kind of believe they probably got it. But I have seen it. It's like any other, like anything else, you know.
It's part of me is like, it has a retro USL look and feel to it that I don't hate. But it is awful.
Just buy the loyal.
That which is sure.
Just buy the loyal. Just buy the loyal.
I know. I know.
They're sadly, you know, are wrapping up or have wrapped it up. But it's, you know, it's almost like trite to talk about the press release speak of it. But you know that it is a real logo because it. The story includes the club's official colors were labeled the explainer as chrome and azul. Well, azul means blue, and I wouldn't say that I see a lot of blue in this kit. Is that supposed to be navy? Is that the azul they're talking about?
If RSL gets to be the cobalt and claret, then I feel like we have to allow others to be other strange hues that are just a shade away from the primary color.
Four principal virtues that define San Diego: gratitude, proud not loud, diversity, and a state of flow. Sure, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I love the vibes, my man.
That's going to be in 2025. Do we have another? Just my thought process as I'm trying to figure this out. Do we have an expansion draft this season? Is there one for 2024? There must be somebody. There must be somebody I'm forgetting, because it feels like they never stop with this.
Not immediately seeing anything about it, but
yeah,
you would think
it kind of feels like this this playoff format that they're doing, where you know you've got a sort of eyeball. No, there's no, yeah, we're a break from expansion drafts. They've had this new playoff format, and so I think that having a year to get used to it before you blow it up again by adding another team is probably not the worst thing in the world.
No, yeah, that's right. Let's get this one out of the way first.
That's true.
Speaking out of the way, longtime MLS coach of Minnesota United, Adrian Heath, has parted ways with the club since we last talked. It's a big one for sure. I feel like from what I've seen, reactions are kind of split 50-50. How do you feel?
Oh, I saw a good tweet about this, and it was from a Minnesota supporter, and it talked about how Adrian Heath had done a lot to bring the club along and to, like, you know, obviously create its modern era, but then, you know, maybe was in terms of, like, he'd done a lot to get them there, but then, like, where he was at now was not necessarily helping, and I think that is a reasonable yeah. way to look at it.
I don't think that's unfair. I mean, I also feel like the, like, Reynoso shoulders some of the burden here. Not that I don't think, you know, conversations were had about Heath's leadership probably prior to this season anyway. But, you know, not having your star DP available for months to start off the campaign, I feel like is a pretty damning indictment of Reynoso as well. Because, obviously, like, I think with another, let's say, even conservatively, like, 9 points, Minnesota's, like, in with a shout, and Adrian Heath is probably leading them on. Now, is that the best version of Minnesota that Minnesota can be? I don't know. But as ever, I think the question is less about, like, is it a logical decision to get rid of this coach now, and who do you replace him with that is going to get you to a better place? But I do think it's fair to say that Minnesota has underperformed, especially the last two seasons, given the star power that they do have, Reynoso notwithstanding.
When you look at like where things are right now with him, or with the table, and it's almost like shocking to think about the fact that like they're not, technically speaking, out yet. They're at the end of the list of teams that could potentially step up into that spot, but they could still potentially qualify here.
Well, they could. I mean, I feel like defensively they've obviously just not been the strongest team to be fielded this year. But they've scored a decent amount of goals. I think the players that they've brought in have been pretty exceptional, given that bringing in players from other leagues doesn't always work out right away. And I wouldn't say it worked out right away, but considering the pasting they gave LA Galaxy, you know, and seeing Pookie get four goals, like, you know, it's not working completely.
That's right.
That game was, I think, their first without Adrian Heath, so that could have been a bit of a bump there. Yeah, we'll see what happens as ever. I think it's a little bit strange, you know, to me it's sort of a signal of like, okay, well, we're not going to make the playoffs. But they were sort of framing it as like, no, we're going to do our darndest, and we're going to do it with some new leadership, and then we'll think about it in the off season. And it's like, you know, people have had dumber ideas going into the postseason or the playoff push, but I don't know. It's been tough times for Minnesota, despite some very good play at times, and obviously like an ability to score goals.
I think,
and at times an exciting team to watch.
I think if you see the, I think if you look at they interviewed Adrian Peter Vermees, and about that, and obviously Heath is one of the four longest serving coaches, and so you know has some stuff in common there. I'm sure that the teams a lot of the teams that I see in the still open spots in this season, mm-hmm. are teams like Minnesota and teams like Sporting Kansas City that have had individual quality available.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, you can really look at it and think, you should probably, like, you'd expect, it's hard to imagine this, a team like this, or not hard to imagine. The expectation is to try and do something with that. Not no pieces.
But maybe not the right pieces.
Speaking of making pieces some of their part greater than some of their parts, Toronto FC has clinched the wooden spoon for second lowest position. Highest salary, lowest points.
I saw that today, and I did the math. 6 Ryan Golds is what you'll get for Insigne's price. What a bum.
Yeah.
Tough times there. Also, Michael Bradley announcing his retirement at the end of the season, so that changeover will finally occur. And I'm unfortunate for him. I feel like, you know, all his achievements, I mean, it will never be enough for people. People just seem to have it out for him, but it's obviously just been a horrendous year for TFC, which in many ways might be the perfect send-off for him. Maybe it feels really familiar, but I'm sure he would much rather be making a playoff push in his final season. But also, you know, he stuck it out with this team, and Lord knows he must have had thoughts of taking his services elsewhere many times. So kudos to him on a great career, but also seeing out the job with his current club and certainly putting in a lot more effort than players getting paid a lot more.
My understanding is some of the he's always had the weirdness associated with the U.S. men's national team and that failed World Cup campaign and the Bob Bradley era at the U.S. men's national team. And at times he almost seemed more comfortable at TFC because Canadian fans don't care about that. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you that it's like, you know, I don't want to say that he has been terrible, but I think that you and I stood in and had conversations over the last couple, like, 2 seasons about how the task of the manager is to try and find, you know, somebody to how to work with that with him in the team, like how to find a role for him in the team. And I think it's going to be a little easier for the next manager to not have to do that. But I agree with you that obviously a major part of that MLS, the what are the glory years of that club?
Yeah. I mean, a club legend through and through. Like, if you ask me for a TFC legend, Michael Bradley is the first name that pops into my head. Maybe not everybody's, but, like, he's definitely left his imprint there for sure. And certainly in MLS as well.
John Urban in the building for their not in this match week, but they celebrated the I'm pretty sure they celebrated the Supporter Shield at BMO Field. Cincinnati did. Cincinnati's won the Supporter Shield.
Hell yes. It hasn't gotten old for me yet. I'm sure it hasn't gotten old for their fans either. And I know that everybody's like, you know, we've got to make a deep run and it's not over yet. But I'm like, but it's, you know, also the curse has been lifted. No, like we can safely say it was pretty miserable years. Granted, it wasn't that long, but it was sure felt like an eternity, I'm sure, for Cincinnati fans. And I'm very happy for them to see their team absolutely fucking dominate MLS this season. 68 points. 68. That's 8 more than Orlando in second place in the East. 55 goals for, 37 goals against. Like, the numbers do not lie. Just a truly outstanding season from them.
That is, it's great to see you. I hate to seemingly curse it by saying this because of who we were just talking about, but there is a certain amount of feeling of like, you know, the early years of TFC coming out of the wilderness and enduring some of those tough years, and certainly having Luciano Acosta will not hurt.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt your case if Lucho Acosta is your guy in the midfield.
Then
slash everywhere.
The next task after that is to the next task after.
And as we know, Supporter Shield does not guarantee you even a place in the final. So yes, the job is not done. But I think that that's a piece of silverware that is not wooden. Make them feel just fine with whatever happens for the rest of the season, which really I think is kind of the best position to be in. Not every Supporters Shield winning team, I don't want to say there's no expectations for Cincinnati to win MLS Cup, but I think they are lower than, you know, a team like Philadelphia Union, per se. So I feel like this is the ideal setup for Cincinnati, where they've absolutely dominated all season. There's very few teams that have been able to score much against them. And they get to go into MLS Cup without a lot of expectations riding on it. So they can just go in, play their game, and, you know, maybe dominate the competition there as well.
Another piece of silverware they got handed out, the U.S. Open Cup, which I don't think we've had a chance to chat about. In the early... I think when the last time we chatted, there was concerns about whether, you know, Lionel Messi was starting to miss some games, and now he's missed a fair chunk of games. Definitely been out more than he's been in. And part of at the time that we were talking, part of the idea is the thought that they had rested him for the U.S. Open Cup final with this idea that at one point, you know. Everything was barreling on forward. He was leading betting for the Golden Boot, even though he'd barely played the league. Mm-hmm. And it sort of felt like the U.S. Open Cup was to be the next piece of the narrative as the narrative built. But he was neither on the in the starting lineup, nor in the substitutes for the U.S. Open Cup final on September 27th, and it was Houston who captured, you know, one of their first pieces of hardware in many years. It really seemed like this was an energizing win for them and for manager Ben Olsen and for James Harden.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fantastic from Houston. Obviously, they've had an interesting season. Yeah, I mean they've done well in the West, but they've certainly had their shaky moments too. I was kind of curious to know, like, does this, you know, Ben Olsen was at DC United for a long time, and they moved on from him, and we know how things have been going since that. Does it make you think differently about that decision for DC United to move past him? Or do you still feel like it was probably time and his success with Houston is also a part of that change that maybe he
needed? I would say the latter, because I think that the thing that we, if I had to like pick a particular problem manager wise, I think that an issue is who they selected after that in the thought process of how they wanted that to go.
Yeah.
Which was the with Rooney? I mean, I don't necessarily have a big like complaint, except to say like it is frustrating when you have somebody come into the position, and I would almost call this, obviously he has more to prove in his managing career than Zlatan Ibrahimovic had to prove in his playing career. But it kind of feels similar when it is, you know, somebody who comes in and is looking, and you see this with other managers in MLS sometimes that come from Europe, that are like, they are looking to build experience and it doesn't really matter if they succeed or not. You know what I mean? Like, I think that if I was in his position and I was trying to grow my career as a manager, that I would want to, you know, I mean, I guess he was dismissed, wasn't he?
Nobody's dismissed in MLS. You mutually part ways like gentlemen. You know it.
I don't know if
nobody gets fired.
But
you are invited to disjoin the club.
Right. It's like, you know,
we'd like to include you in your removal.
To see him like continue skipping up is kind of a little unhappy. The idea of bringing in Hernan Losada, who, you know, hasn't been terrible, but at Montreal, but I think that like there has been some issues there. I just think that those were not the right picks at the right time.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, and that's why I always come back to when a team gets rid of a coach, it's easy enough to be like, yeah, get him out. But then you're like, well, that's assuming there's somebody better waiting in the wings, and there often isn't. And good coaches are hard to come by in any league, MLS being no different. So, yeah. Yeah. Good. Well, right? Could happen. So, we have some teams in. I think by now everybody kind of knows. I mean, there's an awful lot of teams that make it in. But we have some, and we have some teams that are out.
I have.
Among them, Inter Miami, which we didn't know if that was going to happen. But we have also a bunch of teams that are neither in nor out that we should probably talk about.
That's right. I went before we get to the remaining ones, I have one more thing that happened here in this last week that I wanted to mention. LA Galaxy. Not dropping out with a draw against RSL in this truncated weekend of games that happened with the international break. It felt like there was a lot of expectations on them. Of course, they had some injury problems. But I don't think you could look at them and say that they were showing no promise towards the end of the season. What do you make of their season and their rush towards their attempt to salvage it?
That's a good question. So glad you asked. I mean, apart from even in the loss to Minnesota, like giving up five goals is never good. But I felt like for a team that has had absolutely no luck this season, I'm still pretty impressed that Vanny turned them into a team that fights. Like, even when they're way, way out of it, which they were in this game, this is the first time in literal years that they've had a mostly full squad of players that look like they're actually going to fight till the final whistle. Seeing Jovalić, his play in that game, in the RSL game, you know, it was a depleted RSL. It wasn't the finest RSL squad to hit the pitch this season, but it's a Galaxy team that shows a little bit more grit and fight. Now, obviously, defensively, and just at times, the entire team can completely collapse, and that's got to be really frustrating. But I do feel like they show promise. And given where Galaxy have been, I think the expectations are pretty low. But I feel like Galaxy is one of those teams where I actually rate them pretty highly next season. I think with some adjustments, maybe some better injury luck, they obviously need to think about what they're going to do with Chicharito and how they're going to spend their DP money and do all of that fun stuff. You know, I think most of the sanctions have now lifted against them. They can kind of go ahead and do what they want. I feel like they've been able to craft Jovalić into, you know, from a petulant child who's really good at soccer into just very good soccer player. Things are, I think, looking up at Galaxy. I don't think it's maybe going to be an overnight turnaround, but I do feel like watching them finish out this season, if they can retain the group of players that actually fight, then yeah, I think they can make the playoffs next season.
It's interesting to think in that it's the Minnesota game where Jovalić comes on as a sub and then immediately scores.
Yeah. And the, I think he got the next assist as well.
So that was the other team. Was the other team that was prior to this weekend part of the decision day calculus.
On the edge of the cliff.
Part of who you would think about now. Austin also back to the drawing board for next year. But as you have noted, the in-between time, the limbo in both conferences is real.
It sure is.
The bar has been lowered, and several clubs are attempting to hop over it.
Yeah. Do you want to go East Coast, West Coast, or how do we want to dive in and tackle this?
Let's talk about the East, because they have that unique situation of it's funny that the MLS Twitter account, as we speak today on Thursday, has posted 5 teams, 2 spots in their graphic. Oh, I guess their graphic does have 5 teams. DC can't qualify despite being in 9th because they have the extra game. They do not have an extra game in hand.
Yeah, that took me a long time looking at that for that math to make sense to me, where it's like they're in 9th, but they've been eliminated. What am I missing here? Games played. That's what I was missing. So DC's out.
Montreal, yeah, despite sitting in a playoff spot currently.
So, unless all of the clubs below them fold overnight, they're out. They're definitely out.
So let me start with this question. Let me start it with this question to you. Montreal on 41 points. New York on 40 points. Chicago on 40 points. Charlotte on 40 points. New York City on 38 points. Possession is 9/10 of the law, and Montreal is one club holding 2 playoff spots, kind of. Do you think they will continue to be sitting in the musical chair at the conclusion of the process?
I was going to think real hard about this, and then I was just like, well, I'm going to see who they play next. They're playing Columbus.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Now you know why I looked at that, right?
That's right.
Every part of me, like, the logical path you were on, I was about to skip along and be like, yeah, I feel like Montreal can hang on to that one. If I'm looking at, you know, and we'll give each team their dues here, But if I'm looking at Red Bulls, Chicago, Charlotte, New York City FC, and Montreal, and I haven't looked at who Red Bulls are playing, I think the Red Bulls have once again quietly been better than people think that they are. Not as good as they were last season, or at certain points this season, but I think there's something in that Red Bulls team. I don't think it's a deep run playoff team, but Charlotte has to play Inter Miami again. Yes, they'll be in Charlotte. Yes, they drew with them midweek. Messi is likely to be playing in that game, at least some of it. It's a big task for Charlotte, who's looked okay at times, but I don't know. I don't think that that spot necessarily goes to Montreal. No.
I'm with you. I'm with you on New York Charlotte as a potential final pairing there. And if you look at Columbus, they'll want to, you know, be in a hosting situation for the playoffs. And
yeah, and they are currently, but they can. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they'll want to retain that. And, you know, Columbus has certainly had their moments of not so greatness this season, too. But they've been pretty far and few between. Montreal had a good win over Portland 4-1. I was going to say, like, Losada's really surprised me with this team. They may not be great, but I feel like he's matured in his approach. He's obviously been able to win enough of them over to execute his game plan. Obviously, with the Timbers, you don't really know what you're going to get with them on any given night, which version of the team will show up. While we're here, I guess, they are one of the teams in the West that are sort of right on that edge. They're sharing 43 points with Dallas and San Jose, so it's not necessarily wrapped up for Portland, but it all depends on Portland. If what version of them is going to show up and perform on decision day. But yeah, I don't know. Montreal's been not terrible, right? Like, they've 41 points isn't bad. They've given up a lot of goals. That's the Achilles heel, right?
Let me
that
hit you.
Not scoring a lot.
Let me hit you
but
with
for only scoring 35 goals and giving up 50 and being in eighth place. Like, they're, you know, they've been able to scrape enough draws and wins together to make a case for themselves.
So the first tiebreaker is wins, and yeah. Montreal have done quite well. So let me put this scenario to you. New York City beats Chicago at home. Charlotte, it goes to 41. Charlotte beats Inter Miami and goes to 43. New York draws Nashville and goes to 41 points. So you have Montreal and New York City and New York on 41 points. But Montreal wins the tiebreaker through wins.
Yeah. That's possible, I guess. Yeah, you're right. I just looked and the Montreal is going to be playing in Columbus, which doesn't bode particularly well for them. They've only won 2 games on the road this season and lost 12. But,
that definitely supposes they lose that match, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. The math still works out that Montreal could potentially hang on through the wins thing, which would, I feel like, be a very Montreal thing, you know, to like underperform but still squeak in. Sorry, Montreal fans, but doesn't it just feel like that sometimes? You're like, how have they been so not great and still kind of in contention at the same time? I would like to see them in. You know me, I'm all for CanCon content in the playoffs. I don't care who, I care how many. Am I convinced that that's going to happen? Not necessarily, but Charlotte, yeah, I don't know. Chicago, Red Bulls in City, maybe. You're right. I think you might be onto something. They could really screw it up and still make it. So
that's the MLS.
That's the I'm just gonna say
energy that we want.
That's so MLS way. Did you lose and still make it in? Yeah. All right.
Let us draw our eye now that we've solved it.
Now that we've solved that.
allow us to draw our eye toward the Western Conference, where so I wanted to tackle it differently because both of them have slightly different, you know, factual matrices. One of them, you know, you have the scenario of everybody gunning for everybody sitting on more or less the same amount of points, except for New York City. In the Western Conference, you have, you know, Vancouver has somehow, even though it's this has never been the Whitecaps' strong suit, making something not harder for themselves than it has to be. So congrats to them for not being a part of this situation. The last three playoff spots, one of them is not a wild card spot. Two of them are wild card spots. One of them is guaranteed. Are Portland, Dallas, and San Jose, all on 43 points. Portland has 11 wins, Dallas, San Jose on 10 wins. Then we have Kansas City and Minnesota on 41 points, with Kansas City with 11 wins, Minnesota with 10. So we have five teams, three spots, and the three teams that are in those spots right now have got the ticket in their hand. They've got the ball.
Yeah.
What do you think will happen next?
Well, I fully don't know, but I was just looking up and doing the, like, so who are these teams playing thing. Kansas City's playing Minnesota on decision day, so that'll be a good one. Because they are very, very tightly locked together.
Stakes are high on that one.
I'm sorry, I've already forgotten the question.
Stakes is high. Stakes is high. Stakes is high. We gotta always respect De La Soul. Stakes is high in Kansas City, Minnesota. That's one. I think that they have a level of fighting spirit at this point. I feel like there are points in this in any of the last couple of seasons where you could look at that and think, well, that might kind of be a draw. But I think that the two, for the way these two teams have been playing, that has the makings of a feisty one.
Yeah. Yeah. And given Sporting Kansas City's most recent result was a 3-2 victory over RSL, a really, really weird match. Just terrible defensive performance from RSL. Justin Glad was sent off in like the first minute for Dogso.
That sucked. Sorry to him. And wow.
Then the ensuing free kick sails through the wall as the defenders for RSL jumped out of the way. Anyway, it was a thing to behold. Sporting Kansas City definitely has some fight in them. Minnesota is a wild card. I don't have a great track record of predicting what they're going to do. I think that they've got tremendous firepower on their team, but defensively they've been pretty rough. And in Kansas City, you can say the same, right? Like, now they're banging in goals, but like, you can score two goals against Sporting Kansas City in a game. Okay. Like, that's not that hard to do. They might outscore you still, but you can pump them for at least two. So the fact that they're playing each other, I agree. Like, it may well still work out to be a draw, but if it is, I feel like it's more of a 3-3 or a 4-4 draw than it is a 0-0.
I think if you're any of the teams in the spots, you've got to look at that as a potential risk and think we can't if you can't Montreal your way through this one. Sorry to Montreal. Montreal didn't even do it yet.
You can't all Montreal your way into this. If I had to pick a team to fail upward out of Minnesota and Kansas City, I think I give Kansas City the slight edge here. I think having the players that they've got back from injury, Pulido's been great. They've got fight in them. They find ways to win games, and at Minnesota, I feel like they're going to have to dig real deep to get the result there. And in the end, it might not be good enough for either. So
Portland is at home to Houston. Sure. San Jose is at home to Austin. Dallas is away to Los Angeles.
Galaxy or
Galaxy?
FC?
Galaxy, that's the point.
Although.
I was going to say, if you take the opposing teams out of it, the team that I both like the best and I think is in the right direction at this exact moment in time is Dallas. Dallas probably has the hardest assignment of those. Well, Houston is superior to both those teams, but Portland gets to play them at home.
Yeah, that's tricky. Dallas also had the 1-1 draw and a lot of draws as of late. So decision day really will matter a great deal for them. You know, a 1-1 draw against a chaos Colorado with absolutely nothing to play for, I think, is always the most dangerous version of Colorado. Minus last year is the anomaly when they were great. But yeah, I watched a good chunk of that game, and you know, I think a lot of questions have been asked of Dallas, and you know, only having the one DP in Jesus Ferreira. Jesus Ferreira, an awful lot has been put on him to perform at a certain level, and I think he's great. I really like him, but I don't think he is the DP striker / all around player that you should be pinning all of your hopes onto just yet. I don't think that's a fair assignment for him. And Dallas has struggled. Obviously they continue to be defensively very, very good, but going forward, it's painful to watch sometimes. I've already forgotten. You said they're playing Galaxy, right?
Dallas and Galaxy. Yeah. Dignity and Health Sports Park.
You know, a home Galaxy game and the way the Galaxy have been playing, I don't think that Dallas can at all take that one for granted. And not even just as like a win or a chippy road point. I think there's a real danger that Galaxy actually hammer Dallas in this one. And by hammer, I mean like beat them 1-0. But again, the eliminated teams will do you dirty. We've seen it again and again and again. And you never... I'm going to be the last person to be like, oh, they've got it in the bag, especially given Dallas's performances of late and lack of wins.
San Jose, I have been feeling medium about. In Portland, I have been... San Jose, I have been feeling medium about, but I think has some positive aspects. Mm-hmm. One or two. You know, the performances of Boba Seer has been great. Portland, I have not been feeling great at all. But I think they've but I think they've been doing medium. You know, like I think that the actual trend is like not as dire as you'd think. But like, if I've got to like, you know, pick reasons that I think that they will succeed, it's hard to do this season.
Sorry, is Portland or San Jose?
Portland.
Portland. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Right. Like, you know. Sometimes you see them and you see it like Moreno and Evander, and they're just bully at times, and you're like, this team's unstoppable. And then the next game they lose like 4-1 or something. You're like, oh, right, well, guess they are stoppable. I agree. Like, San Jose has been kind of San Jose-y this year. There's, as you say, there's lots of things to like. There's lots of things to not like. It's been a minute since they've won a game as well. I think it was back in September. Yeah, against RSL. So yeah, I don't think especially in the West, I feel like it's a pretty fair and it's a fair result, let's say, to see the teams that are not quite in and not quite out. And for the ones that actually do control their destiny and it's not up to the other teams around them so much, I think that favors them a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. At the same time, something about me just feels like, look, Portland is in seventh place. They They fired their coach. They've also had a huge number of injury issues. They've obviously have a front office that leaves some things to be desired. And they've performed pretty decently with a lot of headwinds, shall we say. So, like, I think that the Timbers maybe could have a little bit of luck in making it in. As ever, with all of these teams, though, when it becomes this tight, it's very hard to then convincingly say, oh, yeah, they're going to make it past the knockout stages. So it could all be a lot of huff and puff for nothing in the end, but you still want to be above that line. Who are my three? I think my three are Kansas City, San Jose, and Portland.
I'm going to go Kansas City, Portland, Dallas, because I would like it to be, because I would like that. I would like to see, I think they would generate a fun game together.
Yeah.
Portland and Dallas.
Yeah.
Kansas City in the round one position, Portland and Dallas in the wild card.
Yeah, and like I'd be cool with Dallas in the playoffs. I think I've kind of come around to them as a team. I think Nico Estevez is a great coach. I mean, it's just nice to see a team that can defend well in MLS. Let's be real. It's just like I said. It's been hardly convincing from them, and I don't think they're set up to be a deep playoff run. However, I don't know. Maybe all those things equal like a semi decent playoff team. Being defensively tight in the playoffs is not a bad thing to be by any stretch.
So we have we have one season. They have announced their nominees for the MVP and other awards. The voting is already open for the various people who have ballots. We don't have ballots, but we have the more prestigious Stetzel MLS awards to think about.
That's right, we do.
But there's still another weekend. There's still a whole other weekend to go for that before you consider things. So when you look at these long lists that they have put out, what is your take? What are some of the things that pop for you?
As I stall to bring up the long list, I feel like, if I was not mistaken, the Coach of the Year awards is basically every coach, if not every coach in MLS, which I feel like is a choice. It's pretty close. It's a very, very long list. Adrian Heath is on there. I don't think he's going to get it.
Wouldn't it be funny?
They totally should. Wayne Rooney's also on it, too. Amazing. What really stands out to me is Ted Uncle in MLS Referee of the Year nominee. Wow, times have changed.
No Chris Penso.
No Chris Penso. Yeah, I mean, I can't say there's a ton of MLS referees that I'm like rushing to give an award to anytime soon. Is it just me or are these lists a lot longer than they used to be? It's just like, it's so many players.
I think this is not based on me having the previous ones in my head. The set of nominees in front of me. Is that these are not short lists. Think of it in terms of the Players' Prize. I think that what usually happens is that people vote, and then they announce the nominees. They say it. They announce the nominees, which is what they've done this time. They've called them the nominees. But there is like what for Young Player of the Year? They have 5, 10, 20, 25.
Yeah. So I guess like some of these guys have like one vote, but they were voted for, therefore they're a nominee.
I don't think any votes. This must be these must be the ballot. I think these are the ballots.
Right.
But they've called them the nominees, which is not really what anybody thinks of when they think of that.
Sure.
So it's like you can make all sorts of jokes about, yes, they have put Lionel Messi on here. There is no, I am seeing no direction that voters should consider the League's Cup in any way. So
right.
I wouldn't really take that seriously.
Here it is. MLS clubs determine nominees and can nominate a maximum of 2 players for certain awards. So it's the clubs that nominate their players for the ballot, which I think is fucking weird, but okay.
Montreal has picked Matthew Chouanier and Jonathan Sirwa. Do you know what I think is? Yeah, busted? You know what I think is busted is that Miami nominated Messi and Busquets, who were their midseason additions. And if you want to throw Messi on there as a Hail Mary, I mean, why not? But why not? He's going to win Ballon d'Or and not make the short list of this, which is going to be really fun.
So true.
But why not, if it was your choice, why not use the second one to, like, recognize somebody on your team that was actually good? Or, you know, like if you're making only emotional arguments, my emotional argument would be put Joseph Martinez on there.
Yeah, no, you make a good point there. I mean, you can nominate 2 players per category, or a maximum of 2 players per category. And they did nominate Drake Callender. To me, Drake Callender is the Inter Miami MVP. Like, there's no way.
Not for MVP, they didn't. I don't see him there.
Not for MVP, but for goalkeeper.
Right, right.
Best for all states, MLS goalkeeper of the year. Yeah. I mean, and I think that there's a lot to be said for a lot of Miami players, but clearly this is not a team that really values the past contributions of players, even if it's this season. There must have been a minimum age of 36 for that category for their nominations. Is Messi? Oh yeah, Messi is nominated. Messi qualifies and is nominated for best newcomer of the year, which I know newcomer means to the league, but I just like, because he will win that, and that to me is fucking amazing.
I couldn't even make a comedy argument in how many actual MLS schools do you get? I should know the answer to this question off the top of my head. I don't.
Pretty good number, I think.
If he actually picked up.
What's your threshold? I'll look for it while you decide what the cutoff is. How many goals does he need to score in your heart for him to qualify for this award?
Less than. I don't think you can. You should qualify for it if you don't have 10 goals. I understand he came late in the season, but I think that he's not on page one.
On page one. That's what I. That's what I just. Oh, that.
That's a good sign. But I. But you
is
look
he
at
on page.
Is he on page 2? The tough part again is like is trying to decide how much you care about the League's Cup. How much do you care about it? Do you care a lot? Do you care none about it? The voters were not directed to consider it in any way, form, or fashion. So I look at the who is on there, and I would not, in terms of his actual MLS impact, I would not rank him. any name I bring up here feels like it's discourseless, but like you know, Georgios Giakoumakis. Great season. Yeah. You know, Yohei Takahoka has done great for Vancouver. Thorhalsson for Orlando. All great years. And Messi, it's hard for me to make even a comedy argument for Messi for that award, but you're right. It's definitely still just going to happen.
Probably. Probably. I mean, yeah.
And an award like that, like, kind of matters, but it's just, like, the comedy potential of pairing the Ballon, like, as noted, pairing the Ballon d'Or with Newcomer of the Year is just, it's just too good.
Yeah.
Too good to pass up.
It's MLS. Why not? Why not?
You had mentioned Callander for Goalkeeper of the Year. Good pick. People are talking about Roman Berkey as like an MVP candidate, so certainly yeah. He's going to be in
and
that
the only reason I don't rate Callander better than Berkey, but I think, I mean, Berkey's coming in at an incredibly high level already, and he has consistently proven that. And I know that, like, this is not best newcomer goalkeeper. This is just goalkeeper. But I feel like Drake Callander, given his age, given his consistency with Inter Miami, despite their rough start, I feel like he's maybe my pick as goalkeeper over Berkey. But, I mean, either one of those two, I think, is more than fair. And actually, looking at this very long list of goalkeepers, I'm like, there's probably four or five goalkeepers on here that I'm like, yeah, they deserve that.
I think we didn't quite address it. It's kind of funny to have newcomer and young player of the year. That's the world we live in.
Just call it new to MLS.
New to all of us. So we will be able to consider, we'll be able to consider some more of this in the time to come, and to come up with you know, some of our suggestions. Comeback player of the year is such a double-edged sword to me, but at the same time, it's some good opportunities to congratulate players like Jonathan Osorio for persevering despite being on Toronto FC.
Or Brad Smith for just still being in MLS for all these years. I feel like Miles Robinson is a pretty easy pick out of that list, looking at it quickly.
Do you have any other topics you want to talk about, or are you going to go cast your Hall of Fame vote for Adrian Heath? You're Hall of Fame. That's an Hall of Fame.
Drop both. I'm gonna drop some stuff in the ballot box in honor of Adrian Heath's memory. Yeah. No, I think I'm good. I feel like we've done a good setup here, as much as we can do, with still a lot to play and be decided. I feel like we've left it where it needs to be for us to, well, not for us, we don't have to do anything but watch, but for the teams that are on the edge to decide for themselves, are you in or are you out? Should I stay or should I go?
And until then, where can we find you online?
You can find me online on Instagram at ThatsSoMLS, and of course, ThatsSoMLS.com. Where can we find you?
You can find me online at team-bates.com, and you can find me on a panoply of social media websites, which include Team Batesy on Instagram. I was going to just say Team Bates on .beastguy.social, but I actually don't remember. I didn't remember if it was Team Bates or Team Batesy. It's Team Bates. So teambates.beastguy.social. And on YouTube, where I will be announcing it and potentially commentating on the final UMB St. John Seawolves game of the season on Saturday. So on the 22nd, on the Sunday. So yes. Enjoy that. Check out UMBSJC Wolves on YouTube for that wonderful thing, and probably one of the Team Batesy on Threads, and you know, teambates.mastodon.social, and anywhere that purports to be a place that you can post these days.
You're really selling that.
And you can find and work
in other places.
And you can and please rate, review, and subscribe. And also on all those things we just mentioned. Tell us your That's a MLS moment of the year. The thing that
hit
is
us up with your suggestions.
The most outrageous, wildest, face palmiest thing that you encountered this year as you read, talked, or thought about this Gong Show of the League that we all enjoy. Be ready. Except TFC fans. I'm sure they're not the happiest.
You're exempt.
And until we see each other next, if it's the first minute of the game, don't get sent off.
What?
Real short game. You'll have to do a real long recovery run after this.
Just running a lot of laps down the hallway.